Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 118. My name is John. Never mind the way I'm living. I'm running into empty space. In a time where nothing's giving exit to a better place. I don't have a topic for this podcast. It is the last before we roll over to the decade of the 20s. I know that technically the new decade doesn't begin until 2021, but as far as I'm concerned, if the tens digit changes, the decade changes. Maybe it's the winter blues, maybe it's the holidays getting me down, maybe it's the fact I'm battling a sinus infection, but I'm not feeling very optimistic right now. So this is going to be kind of a downer podcast. I still want you to listen, but I don't want to mislead you. I'm basically cleaning up a bunch of little non-political things that I want to comment on, but can't make a full podcast out of, and two political topics I just want to get out of the way. I'm going to start with four quick snippets all dealing with movies. I'm just going to go one right after the other. Everyone's going on about the latest Star Wars movie. It's a big thing for a lot of people, and if it's for you, I hope you like it. But I've always been a Star Trek fan. Can I be honest for a moment? Going through the entire Star Wars series in release order, the first movie is classic fun. The second, it's one of the great plot twists in movie history. The third is good, but it's kind of a rehash of the first movie, and there's creepy teddy bears. The prequel trilogy is full of annoying characters, boring political maneuverings, and melodramatic romance with scattered coolness like the Yoda fight scene. The most recent trilogy started with some decent characters and one major death, but it was still another rehash of the first movie. The second part of this most recent trilogy was pretty good from my ambivalent point of view, except I think it totally ruined and wasted Luke, and a lot of fans hated it. From my count, that makes the movies in release order really good, really great, pretty good, inferior, 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 average, and polarizing. That means the last time a Star Wars trilogy movie came out that the majority of the fans really liked, I hadn't even started high school. And I'm coming up on my 30-year reunion. So, from the perspective of one outside the fan base, I don't see any reason to spend money to go see Episode 9. But hey, you're going just because of Star Wars? I understand. Now you know how I feel about DC movies. I love cats. If you listen to my podcast about our vacation to Hawaii, you know how much I love them. We have considered cashing it all in and moving to Lanai to work at that cat sanctuary there. We have three cats in our house, one shelter cat and two strays abandoned in parking lots as kittens. I keep trying to talk Gina into getting another one, and I'd take more in if I had the means to do so. Now, that being said, everyone has their price, so I'm not saying you couldn't pay me, but you would have to reach deep into your pockets and produce some major cash before I will even consider watching that disturbing fucking cats movie. Ugh. Terry Gilliam is now catching hell for criticizing Marvel's Black Panther movie. Social media is claiming racism and coded language. I think certain old guard directors, much like Scorsese's comments a while back, show that the craftsmen and storytellers feel threatened by this new era of the pop blockbuster. It used to be these kinds of movies were only in the summer. Now they're all the time. And I can imagine it feels like other movies get lost in the shuffle. I understand where Scorsese is coming from, but not Gilliam. Black Panther is a visually spectacular movie. The acting is very good. You can sense the nobility of the Wakandans. My problem, and I've said this before, is we saw this movie for Marvel twice before. A hero in a technologically advanced supersuit fights a villain in a very similar technologically advanced supersuit, because the villain believes the hero has something he deserves. We saw it when Obadiah Stane fought Iron Man over control of Stark Industries. We saw it when, what's his name, fought Ant-Man over Pym Industries? Technologies? Goes to show you how little it matters that I can't even be bothered to look up the character or make sure I have the name of the company right. Black Panther deserved better than yet another rehashed Marvel script. The similarities don't end there. There's the snarky female character who plays a major role in saving the hero's life. The bad guy dies in the climactic battle. Hell, both Iron Man and Black Panther end with their big secret being revealed to the world. Iron Man's identity and Wakanda's true technology. Marvel uses charismatic actors and humor to mask their shallow and often recycled scripts. And yes, DC has decided to follow suit, but I've already voiced my disheartened acceptance about that. Speaking of DC movies, I have no idea what to expect from the Birds of Prey movie, but it looks like maniacal fun. DC trailblazed solo female superhero movies with Wonder Woman, and now they're doing the same with female superhero teams that go far beyond a single gratuitous scene in somebody else's movie. You can be sure I'll be there opening night. I'm also glad Flash and Black Adam finally have release dates, although we know that doesn't mean much these days. These are still characters from my favorite fictional universe, so I'm gonna back them no matter what. Okay, let's get this shit over with. Has Donald Trump committed impeachable offenses? Yes. Should that impeachment cause him to be removed from office? You're asking the wrong guy. See, it doesn't really matter if you remove him from office because the powers of the office are still there. The next imperialist or moralist or socialist who steps in will have too much power in the executive branch, and history has shown us that that power will continue to grow. We'll still be at war. We'll still bomb other countries with innocents as collateral damage. We'll still have an atrocious immigration policy. We'll still have a grotesquely bloated bureaucracy stealing our liberties and taking our earned wealth. We'll still have two major political parties that care only about gaining and retaining power over our lives. Let me put it this way. This whole impeachment thing is a purely political attack. The day of the impeachment vote, one of the Democrats talked about how this has been 2.5 years in the making. And that's a sentiment that has been echoed in various forms over the past several months by Democrat politicians and left-leaning pundits. There's only one problem. Trump is being impeached for something he did last June, not June 2 years ago. If this were truly about him doing something bad, there would have been no work for impeachment until he actually did something bad. What the Democrats are doing with this circus and what the Republicans are doing in their defense is furthering the rift in this country, fomenting anger and resentment in an already tumultuous and divided citizenry. Now, if it wouldn't cause more problems than it's worth, should he be removed? I'm gonna say yes, because it does at least seem like he's trying to get information on an opponent from a foreign government. The problem is, it's at best a gray area. Since it is a gray area, and the Republican Party controls the Senate, where Trump will definitely win, this all becomes a complete waste of taxpayer money. This is millions of taxpayer dollars thrown into a pit and burned so the Democrats can go back to their constituents and say, "We tried to remove the bad man." While the Republicans can go back to their constituents and say, "Look how they're trying to negate your vote." Maybe if Trump had asked the IRS to look into Biden, this wouldn't be an issue. If you don't care about the Obama administration using the IRS to go after opponents, why should you want Trump to be removed? It's pathetic how hypocritical people are to the corruption. Perfectly fine when their side does it. End of the world as we know it when the other side does it. By the way, Neil Adams, who I completely respect as a comic book creator, had one of the most ridiculously hypocritical takes. He tweeted, quote, "We need an impartial jury." Hold on a second. Let me reread that first sentence. "We need an impartial jury. This is a damn trial. We can't have a trial if the jurors have already found the defendant not guilty. Don't call it a trial. Call it a kangaroo court. Any senator committed to defend the president should be removed from the jury." End quote. Okay, he claims he wants an impartial jury, but anybody who defends the president should be removed. He says nothing about the senators who have already committed to remove Trump. No calls for their removal from the proceedings. What he's really saying is, "I want him found guilty whether he is or not, and I'm willing to remove anyone who would defend him to make sure my morality is enforced." If this had been a Democrat president trying to get dirt on a Republican opponent, the script would be flipped. It's all bullshit. By the way, the Patriot Act was renewed while everybody was fopping over the impeachment hearings. Not that Republicans or Democrats care, because all that matters to them is they're the ones that are in charge when the fascism switch is finally turned on. Look, Trump is a douche. He says a lot of things that are blatantly outlandish. He says a lot of things that are just downright offensive to people. Those aren't impeachable offenses. But that's really why this whole impeachment thing has been in play for the last 2.5 years. They're grasping at any straw, praying for any miracle, because they don't like their anger, hatred, and contempt reflected back at them. What they're not doing is offering any opinion other than their same old socialist mantra. Speaking of being a douche and socialist mantras, Trump attacks Greta, what's her name, the climate change castigator. Again, so sick of it, I won't even be bothered to look up her name. This is bullshit. It wasn't an attack. He was dismissing her. At some point, you gotta make up your mind. Is this a don't take shit from nobody badass strong woman who easily stands up to the elitists of the world and berate them for what she believes to be their role in climate change? You know, the way you've been portraying her for the past several weeks? Or is she a fragile little girl that you need to shelter under your wing when the bad orange man says mean things? This is her battle she chose to wage. If you have to come to her rescue because you don't like what somebody else says, then you really don't have any confidence in her. I mean, she obviously has her own elitists backing her. If she didn't, she never would have been given the spotlight. Nobody gives a flying fuck what a 16-year-old says unless she's saying exactly what they want her to say. Just like nobody gives a shit about what a celebrity says unless it falls in line with their own beliefs. I guess I'm supposed to apologize for not being in complete goose step with the climate change crowd. Okay, fine. I apologize. I apologize for not blindly and mindlessly believing every word that comes out of the mouth of the biggest energy user in the state of Tennessee, who didn't install solar panels on his property until his hypocrisy was pointed out. I'm sorry I don't believe the holy politician or the sermonizing celebrities who fly private jets to conferences where they chastise us about our carbon footprints. I'm sorry I don't believe elitists who fly their private jets to a remote Pacific island to talk about how you and I need to be more Earth-friendly. I'm sorry I don't believe scientists whose economic livelihood is intrinsically connected to proclaiming the existence of man-made climate change. I'm sorry I actually took the time to research and listen to legitimate scientists who find the polar bear population is not in danger, who question the accuracy of climate change claims, and who offer reasonable alternative explanations to the fluctuations in Earth's temperatures in recent history. But most of all, I'm sorry for not dropping to my knees and allowing myself and my fellow citizens to be shackled to the atrociously ineffective fascist plans that always seem to accompany the climate change propaganda. Taxation does nothing to change the environment. Forcing common people to adhere to strict guidelines that are blatantly ignored by the very people promoting them will do nothing to change the environment. Ignoring the larger polluting countries like China while trying to oppress the remaining entrepreneurial and capitalist ideology that could solve such problems will do nothing to change the environment for the better. Speaking of entrepreneurial, you ever hear of Boyan Slat? I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right. He's 25 years old and used to be on a path to becoming an aerospace engineer. Until one day in 2011, when he went diving in Greece and found more plastic in the water than fish. Now, that's a huge problem that others have been telling us about, isn't it? In fact, there's all kinds of bans and fines and taxes popping up to curtail the use of plastics. This kid, though, had a different idea. He quit aerospace engineering and founded the Ocean Cleanup, a company which is developing technology to remove plastic from the ocean and keep it from accumulating there. In his words, quote, "Technology is the most potent agent of change. It is an amplifier of our human capabilities. Whereas other change agents rely on reshuffling the existing building blocks of society, technological innovation creates entirely new ones, expanding our problem-solving toolbox." End quote. Which do you think will have a better chance to solve pollution problems? Value-added taxation or technology and innovation? Who's really walking the walk? The one who berates others from the first-class seat of her train? Or the one who puts his beliefs into beneficial action? I'm sorry I don't follow the mob. I'm sorry I don't grab my torch or pitchfork because the latest environmentalist tactic didn't work. We tried getting people afraid. Now let's try to get a child to shame them. you've overplayed your hand, environmentalist. You try to convince us the sky is falling. Sorry I bothered to look up for myself. Propaganda hasn't worked. Dire predictions have proven false. Fear and panic has failed you. Venomous shaming is failing you. I know what's next. I know what you're planning. I know the mental and emotional coercion will one day turn into physical force. It's already being proposed for people like me who refuse to capitulate. Don't think we haven't heard your talk of beating people who disagree with your inaccurately proclaimed settled science. Don't think we haven't heard the idea floated that people who don't fully accept climate change should be jailed. You can play the it's just a joke card or act like you don't really mean it, but I know you really do. That's why I called your plans fascist earlier. See, fascists are perfectly fine with beating and imprisoning people who disagree with them. Fascists actively use physical force on people to make them go along with their ideology. But while I've concentrated on the leftists, it doesn't matter if the Republicans or the Democrats have more control over the branches of the United States government. Both sides, socialist or corporatist, communist or imperialist, sow the seeds of fascism. I don't trust either side because I know the second they sense I don't rigidly stand and salute their version of morality, I become an enemy to be eliminated. See? Told you it was kind of a downer podcast. But you know, let me end on one other non-political topic, because I love the message. Jeff Johns and Gary Frank's 12-issue series Doomsday Clock finally wrapped this month after several unfortunately long delays. Now, huge spoilers here if you plan on reading it. Seriously, if you plan on reading it, skip ahead a couple of minutes. This story brought together the characters from the Watchmen universe with the main DC Comics universe. It's revealed that Dr. Manhattan tampered with the DC universe and Superman's origins, and that caused all kinds of problems for the heroes over the past several years. And throughout the first 11 issues, a showdown between Superman and Dr. Manhattan is portended. Dr. Manhattan reveals he saw a future where Superman comes to punch him and everything goes black. And Dr. Manhattan can see no further into the future. According to Dr. Manhattan, this means that either Superman kills him or the universe is destroyed. Spoilers. Superman's allies are scattered. His enemies have converged to attack him. And Dr. Manhattan appears but does nothing to help, only saying that either Superman kills him or the universe is destroyed. Finally, the moment comes. Superman lunges toward Dr. Manhattan with his fist clenched and, spoilers, hits one of the bad guys coming at him from behind Dr. Manhattan. Superman then tells a confused Dr. Manhattan, "I don't know what to think about all this, but I do know that right now, you have a choice to make. You talk about me destroying you, or you destroying me, because all you see beyond this is nothing. But maybe there's a third choice." Superman asks about Janie Slater, the woman in Dr. Manhattan's photograph that appears around him, and about her importance to him. Reconnecting with his humanity, Dr. Manhattan realizes another choice. Stop interfering with the DC universe and go back to make his own broken universe a better place. Quit sticking your nose in everyone else's lives, turning them into something they aren't supposed to be, and placing them in unnecessary conflicts, and worry about getting your life straight. I don't know if it's intentional, but it's a nice little moral to the story. The decade is coming to a close. It is perfectly appropriate that this is the decade of the teens, because this is the decade where everyone seems to be acting like teenagers. Petulant, privileged, contemptuous, hubristic, know-it-alls. The right side of the aisle says their religious texts and traditions provide them the authority to force their morality through legislation on everyone else. The left side of the aisle says their socialist manifesto and New Age ideology provide them the authority to force their morality through legislation on everyone else. Each side wholeheartedly believes their point of view to be explicitly correct, and the rest of us morons should just prostrate ourselves and thank them for showing us the error of our wretched lives. We dumbasses ought to turn from our sad, sinful ways and rejoice that they, the blessed, the enlightened, were willing to share their morality with us. These people, like Dr. Manhattan, think nothing of reaching into our lives and treating us like playthings for their curiosity. They just don't get it. They just don't understand. I want to take care of my own little world. Don't interfere with what I'm doing unless I ask for it. You go worry about your own little broken world. I don't know how you or anyone else should live. All I know is how I want to live my life. How many times do I have to say this? If you want to be a crazy left-wing socialist, then be a crazy left-wing socialist, but don't force me to be one too. If you want to be a right-wing fundamentalist Christian nutjob, then be a right-wing fundamentalist Christian nutjob, but don't force me to be one as well. And neither of you enact legislation that pushes me to behave more like you. I don't really care how you live your life unless you do things to try to take away my rights. I want you to find what works best for you. I'll find what works best for me, and we'll go from there. I won't force you to live your life according to my morality. The left-wing socialist Democrats can't say that because they want to force me to surrender my earned wealth so that they may give it to people they believe to be more deserving and dictate how I am allowed to protect myself in myriad other schemes that erode my rights. The right-wing corporatist Republicans can't say that because they want to force me to surrender my earned wealth so that they may invade any country they believe to be a threat and dictate who I'm allowed to marry and myriad other schemes that erode my natural rights. Stop interfering. Stop legislating our lives. Stop telling us that your morality is the only way. This country is falling apart, and it will continue to fall apart. Citizens fear citizen because of skin color, religious beliefs, sexual orientation, political affiliation, and any other way the left wing and the right wing can find to separate us. We will continue to fall apart, yelling, fighting, assaulting, murdering each other, so long as we continue to allow these collectivist ideologies to fill our minds with the cancerous notion that anyone who believes different from you is inferior. I may think socialism is crazy, or fundamentalist Christianity is nutty, but I don't think you're an inferior human being for believing differently from me. It amazes me that people in 2019 who claim to be intellectually or spiritually enlightened will castigate, intimidate, and demonize anyone who dares to believe something different. Maybe as 2019 ends and the new year begins, true enlightenment will come and they'll realize how hypocritical they've been. After all, you know what they say about hindsight. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.